Pittsburgh Steeler fans, it is time once again for another edition of the Curtain Call podcast. Yes, the Steelers lost. Season's over. Know Your Enemy comes to an end because there's no more enemies to get to know. Except really, I guess we're doing one more enemy. That being the Steelers being their worst enemy on this first edition of the Curtain Call for the 2022 offseason. My name is Michael Beck, your deputy editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and my co-host, as always, and my only partner in crime this evening, one Mr. Jeffrey Benedict. Jeffrey, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good, Michael. I'm doing good. Recovered, as they could say, from the disappointment of Sunday.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to say, too, is like, if we had to do this show on Monday, I feel like I'd be pretty bitter and like just pretty short and snappy when having to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think enough time has passed to really kind of digest not only that loss, but kind of more so the season as a whole. A team that never had an identity, a team that just that should have lost way more games than it did, but they ended up winning a bunch, which, again, they never should have in the first place, but they did. Just overall, the season's over. That game was brutal. What will you remember most about the 2021-22 Steelers?
I'll remember that they, I mean, start of the season, I predicted that they would somehow go either like they would find a way to still go 500. They almost did it, but that was before the Alualu injury, the Devin Bush injury, TJ Watt missing games, injuries on the offensive line. Like, this team honestly surprised me, and they showed a lot of heart. It reminds me quite a bit of the 2019 team. More, I think I'll remember this one more like the 2019 season than like the 2018 season or even the 2020 season, which, despite going 12-4 and winning the division, felt like a real disappointment at the end. This did not, outside of like that game stunk to watch through, like the second half was just awful. But yeah, I don't think it's in the long term, I'm going to remember it much more like that 2019 season, like that kind of gritty, this team won more than they should have.
I think for me, obviously the first thing that kind of jumps to mind, or really gets the first two things, is Big Ben's last run and TJ Watt breaking the sack record. Like, those things are going to stand out to me. But I think what I'm really going to like remember from this season was like how bad the offense was and like how hard it was to watch them when they came on the field. Like it genuinely, like it was hard. Like, so yeah, here comes y'all. Like, the defense was bad. They're getting gashed on the ground. They're searching out for Chris Wormley and whoever that not named Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, and they're running ball straight at him. Offensively, it was so much worse than that. But for you, Jeffrey,
if I can jump in on the offense. Can I jump in on that?
Go for it, sure.
Okay, so this is I'm doing a stats breakdown on all kinds of things about the team, right? I'm looking at all this stuff. And one thing I ran across is if you go by the first quarter, drives that occur in the first quarter, the Steelers have the lowest yards per drive, the least time per drive. They have like the highest turnover, one of the highest turnover rates, lowest scoring percentage. They were like the worst offense in the NFL in the first quarter, just straight up. And the Steelers defense was one of the best in the first quarter outside of like drives off turnovers. So it's going to be interesting. That's something I'm going to dive into more. But as much as we saw this season, I think the biggest deal, and we saw it kill the team in the wild card game, was the offense just starting so slowly and taking half the game to figure out how to get first downs and move the ball.
Yeah, the first half specifically was hard to watch in every game. Before I load up this super chat, I saw a stat today, which ran on the BTSC Facebook page, that if the Steeler games ended after the third quarter, they would be 3-14 this year. That's tied for the second worst record in football with the Houston Texans. If the games end in the third quarter, they would have been picking third overall. That's what we'd be talking about right now. But for whatever reason, they were able to turn things on late in games. But we should get to this super chat because it actually does have a lot to do with the curtain call itself. This comes from Ryan Jeffords. He puts $4.99 in the tip jar. He says, what part of the offseason do y'all usually start getting into the draft and such? Well, I can tell you that once the Super Bowl has drawn to a close, Jeffrey and I, as kind of our interview show, we'll have our weekly guests once again. We'll be bringing in experts from every single collegiate program with a decent level of prospects. And I think this year specifically, those with quarterback options, we'll start to look into those schools, bringing in experts from those programs and really diving into the prospects that we need to know as Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Like we had guests on from Alabama. We knew all about Najee Harris last year. We talked to guys from Penn State. We knew about Pratt Freiermuth, and Trey Norwood was brought up. Like a bunch of these names we did talk about in the show before they're drafted. And not just the first-round picks, but guys that ended up going throughout the draft for the Steelers. So something to watch out for. And I would say for me specifically, I wouldn't get too crazy into draft talk and really, really doing deep dives into the draft if you're a Steelers fan until free agency is over. And the reason why I want to say that is because this is a Steelers team unlike any other. This team is going to be completely readjusted this offseason. They have a ton of holes, a ton of cap space, a ton of means to create even more cap space, and probably sit close to $70 million. By the time free agency starts, if they really wanted to get to that amount, they can quite easily with like four moves. So there's going to be a huge amount of turnover, and they have to partake in free agency. This isn't a year where they can't just do the Steeler thing, sign a vet here and there, and then wait for the draft to come along. They don't have that option. They have too many things to fill. And speaking of kind of that, like that negative sense where the Steelers have a lot of holes, Jeffrey, what was for the Steelers, what was their biggest issue this year? What was their number one problem? I know there's a lot, but what was the one thing that they have to try to figure out this offseason?
I think field goal holding.
Oh, okay.
Was a really, no, not at all. I make that joke because Mike Tomlin always brings up the holding for field goals. It's ridiculous to me. But anyways, no, I think it's the defensive line. I think the defensive line has to take number one. I know a lot of people look at the inside linebackers and say they didn't have a very good season. I look more at the defensive line when you've got a offensive line double team putting a defensive lineman right into the inside linebacker's lap while they're trying to figure out what gaps they're supposed to hit. And it's like, you're done. You're done from the start. If Devin Bush has a 300-pound blocker on him, if Robert Spillane has a 300-pound blocker, if Joe Schobert has a 300-pound blocker in their face, they're doing exactly nothing on that play. That's what's going to happen. Any offensive lineman worth their salt can take out an inside linebacker. Right, Michael? Like, seriously, if you're an offensive lineman and you're like, you are on that double team and you're peeling off to get the linebacker, what's your expected success rate on that maneuver?
Typically not that high. They're fast, shifty guys. They're supposed to get around you, you know? Like, you're supposed to get in their way and let the running back cut off you, honestly. But, okay. Yeah, no, like, if you get your hands in linebacker, though, you win. It's like, for me, like, you peel off that double team, you get both your hands on the steering wheel of those shoulder pads, it's over. Hitting a linebacker doesn't hurt. It's fun. They're little.
Oh, man.
But I guess kind of building off that, obviously, the Steelers defense did have some significant issues. Would you say that the linebacking core of Devin Bush, Robert Spillane, and Joe Schobert needs to be kind of added upon? Because I know the kind of the starters regressed, and Spillane has his warts, but he's probably like our heaviest hitter. Do you kind of foresee either of those two linebackers getting moved on from?
Robert Spillane is like your number three or number four linebacker, right? He's not a starter. He's not that guy. He is a special teams. He's phenomenal on special teams. He's special teams ace. And that's what he's here for. And to be depth. The fact that they were putting him in as a rotation was a testament to two things. One, Devin Bush being hurt and kind of a shell of his former self. He was not at all the player we saw in 2019 or 2020. And then Joe Schobert being a disappointment. He had a few good games. There were some things he did well, but overall it was like another Avery Williamson or John Bostic. It's another one of those guys that you're like, yeah, if you're desperate, they're a starter. If not, they're a backup. Like Joe Schobert should be your backup, but there's enough bad linebackers out there that he's a starter in this league. He just, and if the Steelers let him go, someone else is going to start him somewhere, but he's going to be one of the less good options to start at inside linebacker. So I believe they definitely need to add. I don't think they need to replace Devin Bush. I think they need to hope that Devin Bush can get healthy and get some of his speed and his quickness back. That's what you got to hope for. But if you fix the defensive line in front of him and he gets a little bit of his speed back, he's going to be fine. He's mostly a coverage guy. You need someone to complement him. And in this season, they really needed a Vince Williams, right? You need someone that actually can take on an offensive lineman. But they didn't have that.
This one coming in from Andrew Wilbar puts $2 in the tip jar. Says, do you guys think Warmly, as in Chris Warmly, has any trade value? I can start off with that. I would say no. Most guys don't have much. Like, even your star players go for much less in the NFL than what you would anticipate they could go for in a trade. It's just one of those things. The only thing that has any value is draft picks. Players hardly ever get anything. I know the Steelers had to give away a fifth, I believe it was, for Warmly. But again, he was still kind of starting for that Ravens team. I know he ended up starting a bunch for the Steelers this year, but his tape as a run defender, it's not going to get him any looks anywhere. I know he put up, what, 5 sacks it was this year, but you don't really have a 3-4 defensive end that you just put on the field for third down and obvious passing situations. It just isn't. It's not a position. It's not a role, and that's kind of what Chris Warmly is. So, if you have room for him on your depth chart, then like you can fit him on your team, but no one's trading for him. Like there's a chance he gets released if Evan's healthy on the Steelers next year. So, it'll be interesting to see how everything works out. I know that just shocked Jeffrey Benedict, but if Alualu's back, like he said he would be, if Stephon Tuitt, that's one of the huge question marks of this offseason. If he comes back. Cam Hayward had another career year, first team All-Pro again. We saw what Montrevious Adams could do. We had to learn his name because of how good he kind of played down the stretch and so on and so forth. Isaiah Loudermilk's developing. Like, how much room is there for an old guy that you can only play on passing situations? So it's one of those spots where it's kind of hard to judge until we really know what's going to happen with the other guys on the defensive line that didn't play this year. So it's one of those things we kind of have to sit back a little bit, but kind of working things out now and looking at the corner spots. Steelers obviously have 2 free agents who ended up being their starting boundary corner, outside corners, I should say, this year in Akella Witherspoon and Joe Hayden. Of course, Witherspoon played great against Kansas City. Joe Hayden, I believe I saw a stat line where he was kind of torched up a bit in that playoff game. What would you say happens here at this position, Jeffrey? Are the Steelers going to have to actually try to sign a free agent or go to the draft again, which is proven them no favors? What happens with the starting corners, and what do they got to do in the spot?
Well, I think you see Joe Hayden brought back, but that depends on how much money he's gonna get. I think one good, if you're looking at the money side of it and saying Joe Hayden, you know, is he going to be willing to take a possible non-starting role, slide inside the nickel, or just be the nickel corner, something like that? Like we've talked about the Deshae Townsend kind of route. If he's willing to do that and take less money, I think his injury, his slow recovery, and how noticeably slower he was when he came back, like he was a little slower, wasn't quite as quick, and he wasn't as good when he came back from his injury as he had been earlier in the season. And that wasn't even as good as he was in 2020 and 2019. He is definitely slowing down. But I think he's a guy you can put in the nickel. You can put somewhere where you don't have to be quick. You know, he can move as well as Arthur Millette can. You know, he can do that kind of stuff easily. He's great in run support. I'd love to see Joe Hayden in the nickel. I know the Steelers would love that leadership. Joe Hayden is a phenomenal person to have in the room. We've had Minkah Fitzpatrick rave about him, talking about how, like, he's never seen someone love football the way Joe Hayden just loves playing football. He's a great leader. Fantastic. Everyone respects him. Everyone loves him around the league. He's a great person to have in that room, especially when you have an Akella Witherspoon who has been a starter before, seen some good stretches, and then seen that fall off, right? If we're hoping maybe this guy, it's finally time he's going to turn this on and maybe have like 3 or 4 good years before, you know, he starts getting older. That's the kind of guy you want in that room. But everything, in my opinion, I think they bring back Witherspoon. I think everything beyond that centers around how much money Joe Hayden gets. and whether he's on this team. Because if he's on this team, you can roll into next season. With those guys, maybe add a young guy, hope Trey Norwood keeps developing, you know, see what James Pierre does in a bounce back role after, you know, having a good start and then kind of falling apart.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be one of the things where the free agent market isn't great. The draft, it's the Steelers' kryptonite. Like, they could draft someone that seems like a surefire guy, and they just fall apart. It's just been one of those spots where, whatever reason, it's like the Patriots and the receivers. They just can't figure it out. Or the Raiders with first-round picks. They can't figure it out. So it's going to be, again, one of those things. The corner spot is going to be very tricky, and it comes down to bringing those guys back. But before we move on to kind of like the next spot on this team, what do you think happens with this corner spot? Is it exactly the way it was? Is that okay? Can they roll into next year with the same bodies at corner, or should they add someone somewhere?
Well, this is a good topic. This hits right where I like to talk. You know, I'm a big Terrell Austin fan, and I'm all in on the Steelers' defensive backfield. Their coverage schemes, their secondary has been much different since Terrell Austin came onto this team. And what I believe is kind of a co-defensive coordinator role where he kind of does the schemes, he does the coverage, he does the secondary, and let's keep Butler do the front, you know, the defensive front where he's really good. He brought in Steven Nelson. Steven Nelson came in the year Terrell Austin came in. Steven Nelson worked out well. James Pierre was an undrafted free agent. We've gotten more out of him than we've gotten out of some of our higher draft picks. We've gotten more quality play out of James Pierre than out of quite a number of like third round picks and above. We've gotten good play. Cameron Sutton in a couple of seasons has gone from like a good reserve to one of the best fourth number four cornerbacks in the NFL to a number two cornerback in just a couple of seasons under Terrell Austin. We see this year he drafts Trey Norwood. Trey Norwood stepped in and was really good. He did a good job on Travis Kelce for half the game. Like, that's pretty impressive. Seventh round pick rookie. He's not elite. He's not a top tier guy, but he covered Kelce for a while. I'm interested because I think this is a year we draft somebody. I'm thinking this is kind of where you get that third, fourth round cornerback, you even second round, somewhere in there. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the Steelers are able to do with that position now that they kind of look like a team that can suddenly acquire defensive backs and not be cursed. Maybe cross your fingers, lucky rabbit's feet, paint them black and gold, put them up on your wall. I don't know what you got to do. But I think this is that year where it's kind of like, maybe the curse is broken. And I think the Steelers go for it.
That would be nice. Oh, man. Another missed cornerback pick. Whew. That surely would be something. But yeah. We know how good Minkah Fitzpatrick is and TJ Watt is and Alex Highsmith developed. And even the backup outside linebackers, I feel like I have no problem bringing Tuscan Charlton back. But I guess the only other spot of real question here on this defense is what the Steelers do with Terrell Edmunds. He's a free agent. He just played the best season of his career. I don't think he's going to have a giant market in free agency, but like people would want him on their team. He's been getting better as the years gone by. Do the Steelers keep Edmunds in black and gold, or would you look to do something else to strong safety?
I want him on this team. He is a great compliment to Minkah Fitzpatrick. His deep zone defense has greatly improved. The Steelers felt free to have Minkah Fitzpatrick come forward and Terrell Edmunds play deep, even sometimes in single high safety, where he was ridiculously bad in early 2019. I've talked about this before, but the first game Minkah Fitzpatrick was on the Steelers, they were alternating him and Terrell Edmunds as the deep middle safety, and Edmunds was just like, he had no clue what he was doing back there. He'd never played that. He didn't know what it was. He's gotten so much better that he is now in that discussion of he can be a Ryan Clark to Minkah Fitzpatrick's Troy Polamalu. And as evidence, we know the secondary had struggles this year. We know that the talent drop, we know that, you know, just in the fact that Cameron Sutton, he was a good number two, but he was our number four. Mike Hilton was gone. We never really replaced him in the slot. There was no one who really did very well in the slot. And teams couldn't throw deep on us. And it wasn't just Minka. It was Minka and Terrell Edmonds. Because early on when Minka first came, when they split and they did two cover two, teams would just throw on Terrell Edmonds' side. They didn't do that this year. That slowed down last year. And this year, teams didn't mess with him. He is becoming a really good safety. He's becoming the guy the Steelers drafted him to be, a versatile problem solver who can man up on just about anybody, can come up and be a linebacker against the run, an extra linebacker kind of player in the box, and be a deep zone safety. He can do all of it. And he covers an incredible amount of territory in zone because of his speed, his ridiculous athleticism. He's a guy the Steelers really need to keep. And the market might not be like terrible for him. He's not going to get big money. You know, no one's going to be pursuing him. There's not going to be a bidding war. But if you have a young safety who's best cover one or cover two kind of guy, and you need someone to just take all the other work away from him, that's Terrell Edmonds. That's what the Steelers originally drafted him to do. His role kind of changed under Minka because Minka is also versatile. But he's that guy. So there could be a decent market for him. But I definitely want to see the Steelers keep Terrell Edmonds. And they can probably do it reasonably because of the team situation, the familiarity, playing with Minka Fitzpatrick. Terrell Edmonds seems like a guy. I don't think he's a guy who's going to, you know, be out there forcing a bidding war.
Now, we definitely need to spend some time talking about the offense because for as many flaws as there were on the defense, the offense, you could multiply that by 10, even though there's 11 starters on a football team. It was as bad as an offensive performance as you may ever see in the history of football. The Steelers were bad, very bad. I think the play calling was bad. I think the offensive line talent was terrible. I think Ben Roethlisberger looked bad. The receivers had drops. There was issues. Jeffrey, I know you said for the team, the defensive line is the one thing they need to fix. But offensively, what was the worst thing that this offense was faced with? What do they have to fix?
I need to put huge caveats on this. Because it's going to sound much harsher towards a very certain individual that I don't mean to dump everything on, right? But the problem is Ben Roethlisberger got old. That's the problem. He was hurt and he wasn't himself anymore. This is a team that built the offense around Ben Roethlisberger being great. The entire offense was built around that. Offensive line was built around Ben Roethlisberger's great. All those receivers we brought in, they are all good while Ben Roethlisberger was really good. I've seen stuff talk about Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, you know, and James Washington. They're not, you know, like great like the Steelers used to be a wide receiver factory. And now they're not. And it's like, well, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger got old. Like, it's not like you can run a decent route and he's going to put a laser beam on your hands, right? Right in stride anymore. Now you've got to make plays because he's not that guy anymore. And that's really what happened. We had a at our Slack channel, people were talking, and one of the guys from behind talking. The steel curtain. Yes, it was a great conversation. I believe our editor-in-chief, Jeff Hartman, said we were worse than Steelers Twitter, which is pretty bad, as you know, Michael. But we were talking, and I lost my train of thought right there. But someone said, found it again, someone said we needed to have a better run game. We needed to be built, like, to support him better. And I was like, yeah, we needed more of what we had, like, his rookie contract. You know, before 2008, when that line all got hurt, 2004, 2005, 2006, we needed that kind of an offense around this Ben Roethlisberger. But the problem is this team for a long time was built for the 2014 to 2018 Ben Roethlisberger. And that's not who we had the last two seasons. And I really think you saw the Steelers try to, like, say, sit down and say, okay, for the next quarterback, we need to rebuild the offensive line, get a run game going, put it that kind of situation again that Ben had early on. And you can see it. Najee Harris, running back, Pat Freiermuth. They went and got two offensive linemen. You know, they're building for that. But at the same time, if it all works out, Ben Roethlisberger has what he needs to be great again, to still be productive. But he doesn't, his physical ability degraded. Ike Taylor came on our podcasts. He was interviewed by Behind the Steel Curtain, and he said Ben Roethlisberger coming back from missing time, what he brought was above the neck. That's what he was going to bring, was his experience and his knowledge, his awareness. That's what he brought. What he didn't have was the same level of physical ability. And when it came down to, especially at the Chiefs, when everything else fell apart, when the run game struggled, when the receivers weren't completely that great, and it's like, we need the quarterback to kind of carry us. He's not that dude. He couldn't do it anymore. Like he could, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, he could do it. That's the problem with this offense. So to me, that's what happened, is the offense didn't fit the quarterback anymore. This was an offense that could just rely on Ben Roethlisberger being great, and they suddenly couldn't. And so to me, there's a lot of problems on this offense, because you have to you got to get a new identity. Something they talked about this past offseason was, you know, getting that toughness, that nastiness, being a run first team kind of thing. It didn't work out. They still got a long ways to go to pull that off.
Now, I think we need to spend a little bit of time on that quarterback question, because it's something that's going to be greatly talked about throughout the entire offseason, throughout all of next season, for that matter, and all of next offseason, next offseason. It's going to be greatly talked about, regardless of what the Steelers do here. And before I even ask you the question, like for me, scrolling Steelers Twitter, you could find 1,000 people that think Kenny Pickett is the next great NFL quarterback. You could find 1,000 people that would tell you they suck. You'd find 1,000 people that think Aaron Rodgers is amazing. 1,000 people that say, no way, don't want him on my team. Supporters for Hal, critics for Hal, supporters for Ritter, critics for Ritter, supporters for Carson Strong, so on and so forth. Every single quarterback, there's no consensus. Steeler fans, like you could literally be like, talk about duality of men. You could be in any Steelers related tweet. You look at the replies, you can see one person being like, oh, the Steelers get Kenny Pickett, they're winning the Super Bowl like 5 of the next 10 years. The next tweet could be Pickett sucks. Don't, like, stay the heck away from that guy. He's not doing diddly for your team. Like that.
Tiny hands.
Yeah. Yeah, like, what am I going to do with my hands? But still, that's what it is. It's going to be wild. And even in this group chat, or in the chat in the live chat here tonight, there's names that are being thrown around that I've already seen dozens of people be like, no, that guy sucks. And dozens of people being like, no, that guy's great. And like, that's what it's going to be until we see someone play. But for the Pittsburgh Steelers, someone has to start a quarterback next year. Someone right now. Like, before we get there, if Ben Roethlisberger is truly retired and technically he doesn't have a contract, of the guys under contract, is just Mason Rudolph. Right now, Mason Rudolph is your starting quarterback next year. Things could change. They could pick up the RFA deal on Dwayne Haskins, which seems pretty obvious. They could draft someone. They could sign someone. They could trade for someone. I don't see them trading multiple first-round picks, especially with Colbert on his way out. I couldn't see him doing that to a team on his way out. So, Jeffrey Benedict, what the heck are the Steelers doing at quarterback this offseason?
I have seen so many people talk about options for that position. And man, I'm going to stick with what I've stuck with the whole time. They are going to bring in a veteran, and they are going to put this into a competition. It's going to be Haskins, Rudolph, and I don't know, someone. If Jacoby Brissett comes back from his injury looking good, it could be him. It could be a Tyrod Taylor. It could be someone like that that could really be the mobile quarterback in his system. It could be someone like a Mitchell Trubisky, who's sat on the Bills bench, and everyone, you know, it could be any of these guys. I've seen Gardner Minshew, yeah, you know, like, the other Duck Hodges, it could be him, you know. Who knows who it's gonna be, but the odds-on favorite for me is still Mason Rudolph, and I wanna put in some caveats here. 2019, when Juju Smith-Schuster and Mason Rudolph were together, Juju Smith-Schuster was on pace for over 1,000 yards that season. Ben's gone. The offense has been terrible. All that stuff. Juju Smith-Schuster was on pace for a really good season before he got hurt in that Browns game. Chase Claypool, one game with Mason Rudolph, 105 yards, one of his 300-yard games he has in his career, and it was the only game he played with Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph didn't have in the other games. The game that Mason Rudolph played where he was bad didn't have Juju, did not have Chase Claypool. I think he has a chance to be a lot better than we're expecting him to be. Because we remember when things were bad in 2019. Not the early season where the offense was not horrible. Scoring more points than we did this year. Right? So a lot of our games this year, we scored less than Mason Rudolph did in 2019 with that offense. And if they get the run game going, if they get Najee Harris going with Pat Freiermuth, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster comes back, that's a team Mason Rudolph could have some success with. That's a team Dwayne Haskins might be able to have some success with. And we might see kind of a, you know, Tommy Mattis, Cordell Stewart, Kent Graham, kind of, you know, Bill Cowher when he used to rotate quarterbacks kind of almost based on his mood at times. Like, we could see that kind of a situation going on in Pittsburgh as they bridge to the next guy. And I think it will be a bridge. I don't think the next quarterback is coming in this year.
Yeah, I really wouldn't be surprised by that in the slightest. I already see the live chat exploding with the hate for Mason Rudolph and bringing up that Detroit Lions game. But, like, once again, they're a Deontay Johnson fumble or a Pat Freiermuth fumble away from winning that game. Like, I'm not blaming Mason Rudolph for tying a game that was in a monsoon in an ugly day at Heinz Field. Like, yeah, it sucks. It sucks they tied that game. Detroit would go on to beat didn't they beat Arizona, who was like undefeated at that point, and they absolutely beat the barn doors off them? So, like, it's still the NFL. Like, they're still the best players in the world. But, like, yeah, no, I understand why people would be upset with having Mason Rudolph as your starter. But, like, I feel like that's probably also what ends up happening. The Steelers load up their roster and have a year, perhaps, of Mason and Dwayne going back and forth and perhaps insert other name here. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the route they went. I think for me, though, you still need elite quarterback play to win championships. I'm okay for a year of that. If the Steelers starting quarterback in 2023 is still Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins, I feel like then you're just stuck in the mud. Go look over at the mistake by the lake up there, the Cleveland Browns. They have one of the best rosters in football and have had that for a couple years. Who's their worst starter? Baker Mayfield. He is terrible. Holding their team back. They're a team that needs to look for a quarterback, but hey, is their first overall pick. You can't move on from that guy. So for me, you can do the thing with Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins, load up your roster, which I think to me, what the Steelers have to do this year, create that money, build a dynamic roster, fix the old line, add some pieces at receiver, add a backup running back, clog the holes on the defensive line, try to add a corner. All things they can do because they have tons of cash and they're able to do this. Build a great team. Build a great team.
Yep.
You could draft a quarterback this year in the first round. If you think Kenny Pickett, if you're Kevin Colbert, you think Kenny Pickett is the next guy. You think he is the best prospect and he's there at 20? Take him. Take him and give him the best roster you possibly can give him. One of the things that would be a huge mistake is if the Steelers were to, like, flip a first-round pick for, like, Jimmy Garoppolo or three for Aaron Rodgers, and then they don't do anything with the rest of the roster. Now they're out draft picks, and you're just going to have an expensive quarterback running for their life behind a terrible offensive line. I am okay with the Steelers going into 2022, 2023, having spent a ton of cash on their O-line. Like, to me, they could sign four new starter-caliber players. That's fine by me. They can replace like four. They could replace five names. I would be okay with that. This O-line, that's how bad they've been. And rolling with Mason Rudolph. Najee Harris behind a good offensive line. What's stopping him for averaging 100 yards a game? What's stopping him from having a 2,000-yard season? like, there's no, like, go ahead. I know you want to insert on this. Go ahead.
I'm going to say, and we started to see that when the Steelers went on a 4-game win streak, they had 5 games in a row of 100 yards rushing or more. They had a 4-game win streak partway into the Detroit Lions game. Kevin Dotson goes down. They put in B.J. Finney. The entire run game falls completely apart, and the team can't win. And we struggled from there on. We started to see signs of that. And with the offensive line, like you're talking about, they could replace all 5. I want to get your thoughts on this. What do you think of Kevin Dotson coming back, Dan Moore Jr. in his second season? And lastly, should the Steelers give Kendrick Green a second year at center, give him a chance to have that maybe a J.C. Hassenhauer level leap in the second year? I want your thoughts on this, Mike.
On giving guys chances? I know that's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Hey, man. Put him in the right spot.
Yeah. Anywho, for just inside jokes between good buddies. But anyway, your Steelers left tackle at Dan Moore. When I'm talking about replacing 4 guys, the 5th guy that I'm cool with rolling into next year is Dan Moore. And why? He got progressively better as the year went on. Kendrick Green did not. Kevin Dotson, like, there was reports early in the season that he was out of shape. He definitely didn't look great early on in the year. He got a little bit better, then he got hurt, and he missed the rest of the year. Is that a guy you can count on for 17 games? He's struggled at times. It's just one of those things. The offensive line is so important that I am more than willing for the Steelers, and, like, totally acceptable. If they went out and signed 2 guards and if by an act of God, Tyler Linderbaum was available at 20, you're damn right. Those 2 free agents and Linderbaum are my starting interior 3. I don't care. Dotson, thank you for your service. You can be our backup, or we could trade you. Like, sorry. Like, I would not be upset with that whatsoever. As for Kendrick Green, I know a lot of people would be like, shift him to guard. I know, heck, even Mike Tomlin brought up that he has position flexibility. And me, right there, that's a smoking gun that they're going to look for a center this year because he struggled so much. And Tomlin, basically, without saying it, Hassenhauer beat him for the job. And even then, Hassenhauer isn't that great as a center.
No,
the Steelers will have a new center next year, period. It won't be Kendrick Green. And I am someone who just doesn't think Kendrick Green has the physical intangibles to be a starter in the NFL. We could probably do a full show on this. I think his arms are too short. I think, like, the way his body's built, like, I think he might be a little too top heavy. And one of the reasons why he gets blown back is, like, I know he squats 700 pounds, but he still gets pushed back into the laps of quarterback. And that's the worst thing across your whole offensive line. If someone's going to get driven back, it can't be your center. And that's what consistently happens. I'm okay with admitting, hey, that was a bad pick. We need to find someone else. Like, whoops, we screwed up our 3rd-round pick. Guess what? They screwed up a lot of 3rd-round picks. Justin Lane, Kendrick Green, okay, it's just another one. Like, I am okay with moving on from any of these guys. Like, to me, I think Dan Moore Jr. deserves the opportunity. I think you need to improve upon Achiuks Okorafor. I feel like Chukwuma is just a below-average starter on your offensive line. He can start in the NFL, but he's not the average echelon. He's not above average, and you need to push the envelope. You can't settle for below average at any spot. That's just the way the league is. And, like, that's kind of what they have at that right tackle. Like, Trey Turner, he said he wants to come back. I do not want Trey Turner back as a Pittsburgh Steeler next year. You're getting old. You're also undersized. I'm sorry. We're moving on. To me, like, I look at the free agents from the teams that are already, like, millions of dollars above the salary cap bar and are going to have to shed money and have to move on from players. And then look at guys who are, like, in their 20s. There's a number of names. Like, Austin Corbett from the LA Rams. That's got to be the Steelers' top target. Like, that's a starting guard for you. You can sign, he's 26 years old. You can sign that guy to a 5-year deal. No problem. Like these are the moves the Steelers have to make. Like, they have to be willing to move on from this rest of the offensive line. I know I can stand on this soapbox for probably for hours, really, and just talk about, like, what the issues were here. But aside from that, I think the Steelers also need to find a good old line coach. Like, I know Fangio was fired. Was he not?
I think so.
Yeah, Denver needs a head coach. Does that not mean Munchak's available, technically?
Could be.
If Munchak's available, if I'm the Steelers, I'm spending money. I'm getting Munch back. Like, if he wants to coach the NFL, welcome back with open arms. Like, we'll get on our hands and knees to welcome you back. Run game coordinator, you got it. That's just some of the things for me. Like, in your perspective, what do the Steelers have to do in this offensive line?
I think you're right about Kendrick Green. I want to give him time, but I think that time comes as the, like, interior offensive line backup. You could, like, the B.J. Finney. He's as good as B.J. Finney. Kendrick Green is as good as B.J. Finney was this year. He could be that interior line backup guy. Compete with J.C. Hasenauer for it. You know, and that would give him some time. That would give him time to maybe figure things out. And maybe he turns out in 2 years to be a good center. Who knows? But I do agree. I do agree. That's a position, man. If Lindenbaum drops, like, you kind of won me over there. That's the guy. I also agree, Dan Moore. Yes. I think you can live with Chukwuma Okorafor. In Matt Canada's offense, tackles are not as important as guards that are mobile and powerful. If we get a really good guard, we get a really good center. Like, if you say you get a free agent guard and you somehow land Linderbaum, Dotson comes back with his head screwed on straight, or, you know, just playing well. You can roll with Chooks if the people inside are, you know, plus guys. If they're better than just holding their own and they're creating problems for the defense, you can roll with Chooks. Obviously, you, like you said, you can upgrade him. That'd be great. But I think you can roll with that. But you do, in my opinion, need to upgrade two spots on this line at the minimum. At the minimum, you need two big-time upgrades. And not just like, oh, this guy is slightly better. Like, maybe Zach Banner's a bit better than Chukwuma Okorafor. No, that's not what we're talking about. Like, serious major upgrades. Like, Alan Fanica's, David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey. These level of guys that are just going to come in and be anchors on that line, you need two of them. That's my opinion on the offensive line.
Yeah, to me, you have to, you need a center, right guard, right tackle. In my opinion, those are the three you have to do. If you can upgrade your left guard spot, do it. Like, I don't care if the Steelers were able to, like, acquire, like, if they sat around, like, $60 million, because, like, that's relatively easy to do. Like, Zach Banner's getting cut, period. I see people talking about it. Stephon Tuitt, if he's not able to play football, you can't keep him around. That would be a ton of cash there again. Joe Schobert, you restructure, you cut. You cut him, that's $9 million bucks. You restructure, that's, like, about $5 million. Or you just redo his deal. Like, there's ways to make this money. But, like, for me, when you look at this, like, I'm okay with spending the majority of this, like, huge amount of cap space they have on starters on the O-line. Like, no issue whatsoever. And then signing them to, like, a length of deal that they'll start to expire at the end of the next rookie quarterback contract. Because when you don't have to pay your quarterback, you can have a great damn team. And then when that rookie quarterback is coming off their deal, then you draft a bunch of offensive linemen the year before and the year of their rookie deal expiring to have cheap, young, good offensive linemen around. That's the smart way to do this. They need to spend money on that O-line now. That is the biggest issue. I would love for them to bring Juju back. I think he does come back on a like cheaper deal, because his brand is so heavily involved in his image, and he's always going to make more money off the field than he could ever make on it, regardless of where he goes, because of his gaming stuff and his dancing stuff. That guy's media career is going to make him millions on millions of dollars, period. I think he comes back. I think you pretty much roll with the same receiving core. Obviously, James Washington isn't re-signing, but you bring in a vet and you try to bring in a speedster. And then when it comes to running back, they have to find a good RB2. Clearly, they don't have that guy behind Najee, but you can see that on other teams that have legit number one running backs. They still have a decent backup, and they're cheap because no one wants to pay a starter anymore. So, like, you can go out and find a decent RB2. Like, you see Jerick McKinnon ripping the Steelers to shreds. That guy was a vet, minimum pickup in the middle of the season. Like, they can go out and find these guys, and they just haven't been willing to do it. But aside from the O-line, aside from quarterback, what is the one thing? And, like, this is going to be our last question before we kind of sign off here. What's the one thing this offense needs besides O-line and QB?
That's it. to me, that's it. I don't have a problem with this wide receiver core. I think they've got a good situation at tight end. I don't have a problem. I know we can get into this. This could take time, but I don't have a problem with Matt Canada. Honestly, what I saw this season was the play calling got worse when the offensive line couldn't run his stuff. When you had players in there, John Legloo came in, and they just threw out half the playbook, and all of a sudden, they're not running Matt Canada's plays that worked. We've seen Matt Canada's plays work in 2020 before the offensive line fell apart. We've seen him work in 2021 before the offensive line fell apart. I want to see him with a quarterback that fits what he wants to do, with a few more personnel added in that can do what he wants to do, and give him, you know, put him in a good situation and give him a chance.
No, exactly. That's the thing with Matt Canada too. I know so many people want to just be like, this guy is a bad word that I'm not going to say on this, this family channel. And like, we want to move on from him. The Steelers offense was devoid of talent. I don't care like how bad the play call, like, name an offensive coordinator that would have done more with this offense. Like, it is historically bad for talent.
Yeah, what would Andy Reid have done? Like, what does Andy Reid do with this offense?
What would that flip screen pass have looked like with the Steelers offensive line? I assure you, either Ben gets his head taken off or Najee Harris gets his head taken off. It would have been on a low light reel at the end of the year. Like, oh, the dumbest plays of the year.
Yeah.
Like, am I wrong? No,
you're not wrong.
Like the trick plays that teams run. If the Steelers tried that, they'd be losing 20. Like, they have no like, the offensive line is so bad. You could easily say it's the worst offensive line in football. Ben Roethlisberger, you could argue, gave the Steelers the worst quarterback play, especially the last four games of the year. Ben got bad. Like I'm sorry. Like,
once he announced, once it was kind of finalized, like, yes, it leaked that he was retiring. His production went boom down. His film was bad. Everything was bad. I don't know if that kind of broke his in the momentness, and he started kind of like smelling the roses or something. It just threw him off his game. I don't know what it was, but the minute they started leaking he is going to retire, he was no good.
And like, you're not getting anything out of anyone else. Like I'm sorry. Like, I'm cool with giving Matt Canada one more. Like, I'm not losing sleep over him getting another year. Like, if the Steelers actually invest in their offense and have good talent and they suck, yeah, by all means, move on from the guy. Yeah. I'm of the believer that the Steelers are way too old in their coaching staff. Like, Mike Tomlin, one of the youngest head coaches ever when he was hired. He's still one of the younger head coaches in football. He's always had old coordinators and old positional coaches. I hate that. I want the coaching staff that gets plucked on by other teams, especially now with that NFL minority rule where you can pick up third round picks from having your coaches being hired. Hire young guys. Like, why not? Like, some fresh blood. I think that's something the Steelers need to do, and obviously something we can talk on until we're both blue in the face. But I'm okay with Canada coming back so long as they actually invest dollars and draft picks into good players for this offense. And that's something they didn't have this year. They had no talent. And we can all be adults about it. We can look at it and be like, this offense sucked. Ben was bad. The O-line was bad. At times, the receivers were bad. Thank God they had Najee Harris, but that poor kid was getting crushed in the backfield because of how bad the offense was. Like, he had 1,200 yards. I don't know how. We are running a bit over time now, so it is time to sign off. But firstly, Jeffrey Benedict, do you have anything to plug for the people?
Yeah, Dave Schofield and I had a Vertex today about Juju Smith-Schuster and what he brought to the Steelers. I actually cover some stuff about Ben in there. I really liked what his film brought in that game. I hope he sticks with the Steelers. But that one, and I've got a film room on how the Chiefs blocked Cameron Hayward in that game, and what, like, how some of their blocking strategies were very interesting and what it meant for the Steelers. That's going to be a good read. That's what I got.
Hey, looking forward to all of Jeffrey's articles as they come out. You definitely learn some stuff when you see something from old Fanta Skippy pop up across your screen. But before we sign out, I do want to remind everyone to click over to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Should be your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. You'll find articles defending or against any such topic revolving around your Pittsburgh Steelers, breaking down last week's playoff loss, getting into some offseason stuff, remembering Ben Roethlisberger's career, you name it. A ton of stuff is going to be available at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, 100% free for you. So why not? Click over to BTSC, and it's another outlet for you to get all of your Pittsburgh Steelers fix. And especially in this tough kind of era that we might be entering, it might be a little bit of therapy too, getting to be able to read some of the ideas of fans just like you. And lastly here, make sure you're just checking out the entire podcast family from Behind the Steel Curtain. If you're only watching on YouTube and Facebook, you still only get about a third of the story. So wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, you name it, search Behind the Steel Curtain and you'll be able to get the entire family at BTSC Podcast. So once again, for my co-host, Jeffrey Benedict, my name is Michael Beck. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next week.